You are listening to Exceptional Wisdom Radio, the very best in internet radio, with great talk show hosts, great guests, and exceptional wisdom for you. Up next, the Law of Attraction Show with Eva Gregory and Gina Gavellini.
Now, live from the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, you are tuned in and listening to the Law of Attraction Show, where every week, co-hosts Eva Gregory and Gina Gavellini interview leading authors, coaches, and individuals from all walks of life who are using the Law of Attraction to achieve higher levels of peace and prosperity. And now, your co-hosts, Eva Gregory and Gina Gavellini.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Show. We're your hosts. I'm Eva.
And I'm Gina. And on today's show, you're going to find out just how to use sound bites to double or even triple your business with PR. I want some of that. Thank you very much. Many people think that getting media is the be-all, end-all, but being a guest on a radio or TV show or getting interviewed in print is only really just the beginning. There's so much more to making your media appearances work for you and not against you.
Absolutely. Susan Harrow is a top media coach, marketing expert, and the author of the books Sell Yourself Without Selling Your Soul and The Ultimate Guide to Getting Booked on Oprah. Get into O Magazine and get a six-figure book advance. So if any of you are interested in doing anything remotely close to that, pay attention today. Her clients have appeared on Oprah, 60 Minutes, CNN, CBS, Good Morning America, Larry King Live, Entertainment Tonight, NPR, National Radio, and in the New York Times, Vogue, Bizarre People, Parade Time, and the most respected print publications nationwide. For the past 17 years, she's consulted with everyone from Fortune 500 CEOs to soccer moms, celebrity chefs to a star in The Secret. And today, she'll show you how to use the Law of Attraction to get media coverage that's going to double or triple your business. So welcome to the show, Susan.
Thanks. I've been so happy to talk to you and your audience.
Good. I want more media myself, so I like this whole topic. So what's the first thing someone like me needs to know to attract the right kind of business to myself and to my business with Eva using publicity?
The first thing is to have your intention down. Particularly us as women, we often think first about how we can give and then how we can get. And sometimes it works the reverse. People go, okay, what do I want to get? But it's very, very important first to think about what do you want to give? How are you going to serve your audience? What is it that they need that you have? And even more importantly, what do you know that the audience needs to know now, and how can you give it to them? The second part of that is the get part. Okay, what is it that you want for yourself? Meaning, you as coaches, do you want to draw more people into your practice? Do you want to do group coaching? Do you want to do personal coaching? Do you want to do more speaking? Do you want to write a book? Do you want to connect with people at higher levels? What are the experiences that you want? As well as the business. Don't leave anything out, because what happens when you start to do publicity, it's like this kind of magical realm, this other architecture of the invisible that happens where you never know who you're going to connect with and how you're going to reach them. And I think when you do understand that you two are experts on the law of attraction, what happens when you start getting completely aligned with yourself, your purpose, and what you're ready to do in the world, that things just naturally fall into place. Does that make sense?
Yes. I was talking to a client the other day who was very excited. She had a radio interview with another gal. It's a colleague, but not someone that she does radio interviews with often, meaning they were both going to get interviewed together, and she was really excited, and she wanted to use our session to get grounded. And it's funny because the thing that they said that was great evidence of what you just said, she was so focused on just want to give great information, want to be grounded and do a great dance with my partner. So I said, so what do you want to get as a result? She's like, oh, my gosh, I hadn't thought of that. I said, well, are you going to plug yourself at the end? Where are you going to send them? I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because not only do you have to think about that, but all of your systems need to be in place.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking a lot lately about people who want to get into O Magazine, and on Oprah, of course, that's always a popular topic. Mm-hmm. And the point is that even if you aspire to national TV, you have to have all of your ducks in a row, and that means behind the scenes. That means that your systems have to be in place. You have to have an ordering system, you know, whether it's an 800 number or your website has to be able to handle the traffic. You have to be able to support the kind of success that you're looking for. And oftentimes people go out being ungrounded and not setting that foundation for success before they begin. And that's why not only is the intention important, but it's important then to ground that in reality and get everything set up so when that success comes, you are open and ready and can deal with it.
That is such a good point. You know, there was someone many, many, many years ago that I talked to who wrote a book, and she did end up getting on Oprah, but she did not have her systems in place, and they couldn't handle the orders. The books, like, hadn't been enough published and all, and she lost a huge momentum, because as soon as somebody, especially like Oprah, is plugging your stuff, people want it right then and there, and if it's not going to be available for a few weeks, you've lost it. It's gone.
That's exactly right. And even talking to Wasabi Publicity, because we've been talking about James Ray, who I media trained to be on Larry King Live, and then The Secret. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that happened with James, he already had enormous success and had his systems in place. And after getting on Oprah, he needed to move offices. He got a seven-figure book advance. He had to
reorganize.
He was ready for that. Yeah, yeah. And many other things. He had many offers coming his way, which I'm not at liberty to discuss.
Sure.
But some things that were absolutely outrageous, these kind of opportunities that afforded him. He understood that he needed those systems and was able to move very quickly on expanding them when the opportunity came.
I'm having a little moment here. This is Gina, and I'm thinking, wow, that just blew my bubble. I'm thinking, if you got a six-figure advance, that's pretty screaming. Seven figures! That is awesome!
Yeah.
Oh, my
isn't
God,
that,
I love it.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So let's start to expand our thinking right now. I mean, for everybody on the call. Now, here's the thing. I was media training this woman who was an academic, and she lived on her stocks mainly, and she really hadn't made any money, and she was trying to expand her speaking business. She was used to speaking in the academic world for free. And I told her about a client of mine. I said, one of my clients, who's an Olympic athlete, gets $12,000 for an hour. Keynote. Well, she couldn't wrap her mind around that. And so I said, let's backtrack. You can't imagine $12,000 right now. What can you imagine? Can you imagine $2,500? No.
Wow.
Because she had never earned any money speaking.
Oh.
I said, can you imagine $500? And she said, yes. I said, we start there. You envision the next time someone calls, you're charging $500. So the next time you get a phone call, let's role play that so you can get it in your bones. That's where the media training comes in. It's like, let's actually go through a call where I call you up and say, I want you to speak, and you ask for the money. So one of the things that you emphasize in the law of attraction is, you know, not only do you need to take action, but it needs to be embodied in some way, shape, or form. I mean, one of my other clients who already was, she's a minister, and she did weddings, and she's hilarious, and she wanted to raise her wedding fees. And we did this role play, and I said, next call, you now charge, I think it was $3,000 per wedding instead of $2,000 per wedding. And what happened was, yes, she got the call, but before the call, she threw up.
Oh!
And then I said, but did you ask for the money? And she said, yes. And I said, and did you get it? Yes. So, okay, you know, we have these bodily reactions because we're trying to incorporate them into our new worldview. It's okay to barf. You know?
Hey,
okay to barf. You still got to ask for the money.
Yeah.
I remember when I was raising my rate, and I had done this very exact thing that you're talking about for my coaching practice, where I kept practicing, okay, how does it roll off my tongue? Say $500. I was raising it from $350 to $500 because I tried to make the jump to $1,000 and like your client. I was like, oh, hell no, I can't get behind that. That just freaks me out. And so I remember on the phone, I picked it up and the person said, okay, so how much is your coaching fee? And I said $500. But on this side of the phone, I was just thinking, thank God she couldn't see me. Because
yes,
I was cringing
yes.
and going like, oh, what is she going to say? And of course she said yes. So same thing.
And that's the way it works. And even if they don't say yes, that's okay. You have to be, you know, prepare for that or be prepared for objections. I think it's really, really important to do that kind of role playing again so you can actually know that you can say it and
yes.
know that you could do it, you know, and practice that over and over and over again. Another one of my clients who is now a national news commentator, it took her a year to get there to be a national news commentator, but that was her goal, and to do seminars all over the country, and she had a self-published book, and then she got a six-figure book advance. She got her book published by a major publisher. So it took her a year to get there. But what she had said to me, she really did her homework every single time. We were media training once a week, and started slow, you know, on radio first, and then we built up to TV, and then we built up to national TV, and then we built up to those spots that were 2 to 4 minutes. So what happened when she was starting to do those spots is that even though we had role-played it, you know, when she was on a particular show, she was commenting on national news, and we practiced modular sound bites, meaning we got her sound bites down so she could say that there were six of them, if she had time, because there were other people on a panel. And we practiced them so she could say them in different ways, say them all together, say them in a conversation. They were built upon sound bites, you know, they're built upon her point. Well, when she got into the situation with the four, she got one sound bite. And I said, what happened to the other five that we practiced? Why didn't you get them out? And she said, Susan, I know that we've practiced this over and over in role play, and I really understood it, but I didn't get it until I was actually in the situation, and I saw how those other people used up their time and took away mine. Oh. And she said, it's not going to happen again. And the next time that she was on a national show, she took her due. She took her onesie. Not impolitely. She did it very gently, but she took up her space. But it took the one time, even though we had practiced in role play, you actually have to then do it in the world. So it's not even enough to practice it behind the scenes. You know, you practice saying, I want $500, but then you actually have to get on the phone and do it.
Yeah.
Bring it down to earth, right?
Yeah. And I want to go back to the point that you made about, you know, it's okay if the person says no. I think that's a good thing to role play too, because a lot of times when we're talking about, you know, people, we're focused on law of attraction, it's all about how you feel, and people are saying some dollar amount that they want, but then they're scared that if they say that, that's what they want, and then if they fail at it, there's going to be some big dramatic thing. And let's get realistic here. So if they say
no. Yeah, let's get realistic. Yeah, and let's talk about that in different ways. You know, the first thing is getting the feeling in your body. What happens when somebody says no? Gasp. You feel it in your gut. Okay. Then you take a breath. It may feel like somebody's punched you. Well, you want to role play that situation so you know what it feels like, so you understand how you respond. It's okay to respond that way and know that. Then you take a breath and you make a choice to respond differently in the next moment. So the next moment after you've gasped, you take your breath, and then you say what sounds expensive to you or what part of that is not worth it. Or you ask a question that then opens up the conversation. Instead of taking it personally and, it's a rejection, use that as an opportunity to learn. It may not be what you think. I mean, I've certainly had that situation. They said, you're too expensive. And I said, really, why do you think that?
Well, that's good.
And then, yeah. And I say, well, if you're concerned about that, you know, and you just address it right on the spot. So you have an opportunity to address people's objections, but you don't have an opportunity unless you ask. So it's okay to have whatever bodily reaction you have, whether it's barfing or gasping or dry mouth, whatever it is. We just have to get over the fact that our bodies respond unconsciously to that. But the more that you practice it and understand that and go through it, the less those reactions are important to you. And the less that you have them, actually. But you still may have them. And that's okay. It's not about the having them. It's about how you handle them and recover. And that's really key. And most people, even when they're like on TV and stuff and they've been caught with a question that they don't know the answer to, and they say, oh, my God, it seems like it was a year, a decade before I got the next question. And actually, it's just a few seconds. It's just in that mortifying moment, it feels like forever. But you take your breath, you center yourself, and you move forward. Now, that also being said, I had wanted to add one other thing on there. One of the things that we practice very diligently in media training and in meeting coaching is your worst-case scenario. We go there first. Like, okay, what's worst-case scenario?
Right.
The client says no. Or, right. So you can actually experience that, and then it's not so scary. Once you've experienced it in a safe environment, then you start to do it, and it's also the repetition. You start to do it over and over again in different ways, and suddenly it's not that bad anymore. I mean, one of my clients, when I was media training them for a segment on 60 Minutes about is the Catholic Church above the law with sexual harassment within the Catholic Jesuit community, and the Catholics are not considered a governmental office. So saying, are they above the law? They don't have to abide by the same rules, supposedly, as corporations. But anyway, he was going to be interviewed by Mike Wallace, and so I played Mike Wallace.
Wow.
And I asked all the hard, mean questions and some very invasive ones, because it was about sexual harassment within the priesthood, so we're dealing with gay sex, right? So I asked all of those kind of super tough questions. I said, better me than Mike Wallace when you do it. And when he got Morley Safer instead of Mike Wallace, it was a much easier interview.
Oh, yes. Whoa.
But he was prepared for the Mike. He was prepared for Mike Wallace. He lucked out because at the last second, Mike Wallace couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But still, he was prepared for Mike Wallace, and we all need to be prepared for Mike Wallace. Whether it's the coaching practice or whether it's on a TV show or a radio show or being interviewed by the Wall Street Journal.
It's so good because most people are making up that they can't handle it, you know, and that's why they're stressed out, because they're either projecting that means something that about if they're going to succeed in the future, which is, you know, as we all know, a million no's doesn't mean the millionth and one person is going to say no. It could be your yes. And two, everyone, it sounds like when you're coaching, can ultimately rise up and get it done.
It's the old Zen story about the farmer and the horse. The farmer had this horse that his son was riding, and he said, oh, you're so fortunate. You've got a horse and you've got a son. And the farmer said, maybe so, maybe not.
Mm.
And he said, you've got a son helping you in the farm. And the next week, the son fell off and broke his leg. And people go, oh, what bad luck that you had that your son broke his leg. And he said, maybe so, maybe not. Because the next week, there was a war breaking out, and they came in to collect all of the young men. And his son, who had the broken leg, didn't have to go. And they said, oh, you're so lucky your son doesn't have to go to war. Maybe so, maybe not. So the story goes on and on like that. And what happened to me is I spoke at a seminar last month to about 500 people. And there were parts of it that did not go that well. It was not that responsive of an audience. And, things that I would say really didn't strike them sometimes. And I remember thinking, there I am on stage midstream. And so I would just have to recover. Okay, that didn't work. I need to move into something else that does work. And I was very disappointed because there were a number of things that I thought were important that didn't take hold. And that's fine. And I, reviewed it afterwards and said, what could I have done better? How can I have connected more deeply? And looked at all of those things. And then the people who ran the seminar sent me the DVD. And at the same time, I got a call from a national TV show who wanted to use some footage from a recent talk that I used for B-roll.
Ooh.
So I looked at that footage, and none of that stuff showed up on all of the disappointment that I felt inside and the way that the audience sounded. None of that was visible on that DVD. It looked like it was seamless. So the way I felt inside and what was happening on the outside was not necessarily apparent to anyone but myself. Mm. And the second part of that, which is the farmers and farmer stories, now I have really great footage for a TV show that I'm going to be on that's going to air in January.
Love it.
Nice.
Love
that's it. Awesome. Great story.
So when you're saying, oh, we're not up to it, or we can't do it, or this situation comes to nothing, we just don't know.
Yeah.
And the thing is to keep doing it, because you don't know where anything's going to lead. And that's why it's so important to take every opportunity that comes your way.
It also makes me think of an inquiry anytime something happens is, oh, okay, so what's the opportunity in here? Obviously, you're thinking you're bombing, and then there's an amazing opportunity that comes up. And I'm sure if we're looking for it, of course, we're always going to find there is an opportunity in this, and how do I utilize it?
And by the way, there were plenty of people who came up to me and asked me to speak at their events, and other people who wanted to become my clients. So there were people that didn't respond, and then there were other people who did respond. So what was in my mind, or what I perceived, was not necessarily 100% about what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true for all of us, how we feel inside. And for me, I started, analyzing it. The learning in that is that I said, what could I have done better to connect to the people that I know that I was not connecting with? I obviously connected with some people, but not with all. And how could I have done that so I could have connected with more people?
Do you think you can? This is my gremlin, and that's why I'm bringing it up. Eva will probably laugh. I have a gremlin about speaking when it's live audience. It's an extremely big teleclass as well. Like, let's say there's 1,000 people on it. I get more concerned. Like, is everybody? Do I need to touch everybody?
Right.
Yeah. Do I really need to get every person in the audience engaged? Or is it okay to some will, some won't, so what?
Both of that's true. I think both of those things are true. The first thing is that you're setting your intention. May I say things in such a way that the people who are meant to connect with me do? I said that before this teleseminar. Can the people who want to connect with me and go on with me more deeply, can they hear what I have to say and engage with me in whatever form is the best thing for them and for me? It's as simple as that. Then on the other hand, you cannot touch everyone, but the great thing about that is that when you touch one person, the wildfire spreads. That's
right.
Kind of energetic. That when one person gets it, it's also easier for other people to get it. So there's a kind of unconscious fire that gets lit when one person gets what you have to say. So it can be contagious in a really great way. Comedians, Jerry Seinfeld's a great example of that.
Mm.
Once you've got your audience laughing, they'll laugh at whatever you say because the energy is with you.
The force is with you. Yes.
Yeah, the force is with you. Do you know what I mean? But we've all felt that in those kind of audiences, right, where it's like once that feeling gets going, it's not so important exactly every part of the minutia of that. It's that we're on the same plane and we're connecting.
I like that. We're going to go to a commercial break. I'm Gina, and you're listening to the Law of Attraction Show with Gina and Eva. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you a coach looking to take your practice to a higher level? Or someone who is considering launching a career in coaching? Join Eva Gregory, Gina Gabellini, Cheryl Richardson, and 16 other stars of the coaching world at the 2008 Super Conference for Coaches. Visit 2008superconference.com to learn how this virtual event can help lift your coaching practice and learn why these stars of the coaching world donated their time so that this event would be completely free for you. The exceptional wisdom from these stars is available for live listening or MP3 download. Best of all, you can tap the expertise of these stars without incurring the travel costs of a traditional conference. Join Eva and Gina at the 2008 Super Conference. Free registration online at 2008superconference.com. That's 2008superconference.com.
And welcome back to the Law of Attraction Show. I'm Eva, and today we're talking with the author of The Ultimate Guide to Getting Booked on Oprah and Get a Six-Figure Advance, Susan Harrow, top media coach, marketing expert, and, of course, author of a lot more books than that. So I want to go back to something that I'm just looking at here on my paper because I think this is quite intriguing. What does War and Peace and Haiku have to do with creating a successful coaching practice?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We all know as much or more knowledge that's packed into War and Peace, which is several inches thick. And what happens when you start going public is that you have to start compacting your enormous knowledge into haiku, which are the small fallacies.
Sound bites,
because what happens is that you have to start tailoring what you know to what your audience needs. And that can be very, very small. Like when I was talking about my client who's on national TV, I just had one this morning who's commenting on the election. Well, he's got Matthew B. James, who teaches HUNA, which is the ancient system, Hawaiian system of consciousness and wisdom, who, by the way, trained James Ray and many other motivational speakers. He and I were working on his sound bites to speak on a news show today about the election. So what we're doing is taking HUNA, which is a huge, you know, he gives seminars on HUNA for 2 weeks sometimes. So you're taking 2 weeks and a lifetime of knowledge, that's right, and trying to compress it into a 4-minute interview, of which he gets 1 to 2 minutes. So that's why, you know, his all of his HUNA experience is like War and Peace, but we've got to find the haiku in that that's going to relate to the audience. So for today, it was something as simple as, you know, how are people who are responding to the election on both sides, people who are disappointed that Barack Obama got elected and people who are elated that Barack Obama has been elected. How do we deal with that disappointment and elation? And one of the things that he said is that whether you're one of the disappointed or that is to find the similarity, is to look not how we're different, but how we're similar. And if that means just starting with, I am human and you are human, that's a great starting place. And one of the people in his seminar who was very upset that Barack Obama has been elected began there and found, you know what, there are places where we agree. And now I can let go of my anxiety about having this person who I did not choose for the election and begin to move on with my life. You know, for your audience, too, I mean, I think it's really important when we talk about the law of attraction to begin with focusing on what we want and not on what we don't want. But if we can't start there, list all the things that we don't want, because some of us are much clearer on all the things that we don't want in our lives. And then once we list what we don't want, we can then start to move forward with what we do want. Mm-hmm. And to create that list, you know, just draw a line down the center. That's some of his advice, a line down the center, write down everything you don't want. And then, so for you, you know, Gina, when you're talking about talking on a teleseminar or speaking, you write down all the things you don't want to happen, all the things you don't want. I don't want to have people, you know, booing me or hanging up or, you know, list all the right, or saying inappropriate things and getting me off track or, you know, all of those, you know, I've got a very vivid imagination when it comes to, like, the worst scenarios that can happen.
Oh,
and that's why,
goodness.
Oh, yeah, we can play all kinds of, like, the worst scenarios. I had one time in a learning annex, that's a guy, a whirling dervish, get up and start whirling in the middle of the class. You know, it's like, okay, how do you deal with that? You know, so to deal with, or somebody, you know, standing up and saying, what did I have one guy say one time, you know, oh, God, everything you're saying is a bunch of bull, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if I can say that on your radio station, so I caught myself in time. Yeah, so it's like, how do you do that? And again, you know, it's about taking that breath and go, oh, really, well, which parts do you think are BS? Can you identify a couple of parts? Or what in particular is BS? Is it all BS? you know, is there nothing of value here? You know, and just starting to envision yourself responding to that.
That's good.
Is that good?
Yeah, you know what's good is most people have their good comebacks. They think of those after the fact. Like, oh, I should have said this. Oh, man. Yeah. You know, if you can think of your worst case scenarios, you can come up with some great one-liners. I love that.
You can come up with one-liners, and I think one of the important things is to not make any assumptions and not take it personally. There's two things going on. I mean, I've been teaching a class, you know, Gina at the Learning X, and I remember one woman looking really bored, and I'm thinking, I'm totally not reaching her. I'm not connecting. I wonder what's going on. And finally, when I went around the room really quickly and said, what are you here for? She said, I'm here for my daughter, to take notes for my daughter. So I wasn't engaging her because she wasn't even interested in this. And then I go, oh, okay, that makes perfect sense. No wonder she's not as lively engaged. She's doing this for someone else, and she's madly trying to take notes.
You know,
so we can't make those kind of assumptions.
Yes, yeah. And I have a perfect example of that with Gina, where we...
Oh, really?
Really. We were speaking at a conference, and at the end of it, and I'm thinking, oh, that was great. And she was going, oh, that was terrible. I'm going, why? And she had noticed, and tell me if I don't have this accurate, but there was somebody that didn't feel like they were engaged. She narrowed in the one person who was not seeming engaged. And later, that person, that guy came up to us and was talking about what we were saying was so impactful to him that he was sitting there in thought. It wasn't that he wasn't engaged, but he was taking it in.
That's right. And people respond in different ways. You've got the smilers and the nodders, and then you've got the people who don't make any expression. It doesn't mean that they're not engaged.
Exactly.
What you're talking about, those are our gremlins.
Yeah,
those are our internal interpretations of what's going on in the world, and they may or may not be accurate.
Yeah.
We can't know.
Yeah.
It's so good. And two things is, one, I want to underline, and that is my worst nightmare, by the way. I'm boring someone, like they're yawning, going like, oh, when is this going to be over? Boring. And, you know, no assumptions. And two, everything you said, the things that you responded to your worst case scenarios were questions.
Yes.
And I love that for a couple of reasons. One is, then you don't have to come up with an answer. you're asking a question. And two, more learning can come out of it for you, so you knew what to improve. Or learning for the rest of the audience, because that question will elicit some gem out of you. By their, you know, their, whatever their response is, the way that you respond back to it, and it takes all the pressure off you when you ask a question.
It really does. And to just look at that as an investigative opportunity. I think that's the key. Instead of taking it personally and going, I'm bad, or I blew it, or things are not working out. You know how we go on a tumble? We go, oh, God, that was really horrible. Oh, God, I'm a terrible speaker. Oh, no, everything's falling apart in my life. I'm never going to speak again.
Yeah.
In fact, I shouldn't even be in the business that I'm in. What am I thinking, right?
Oh, my God.
That's like the downward tumble. And we need to just pull ourselves back from that and stop and check in.
What I love about the questions, too, is there's no defensiveness happening, and there's an opening to being willing to listen.
I think that's key for anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that willingness to listen and willingness to be open to anything, particularly the hard questions and particularly the hard scenarios. Again, if you can take that breath and just stop and ask, also ask yourself the question, is there any truth in this for me? Sometimes it's all about the other person, but sometimes there's a kernel of truth in it. Mm. And that's the thing, say, what is true for me? What can I take away from this? And what can I learn from it that I've elicited this response and had the opportunity to deal with it?
Mm. I mean, you've got some people that you've played with that are really big. So give us some techniques that you use with some of these outrageously successful clients so that they could draw all these amazing opportunities. Hello, I want a six-figure book advance.
Seven.
Seven. That's right. You want seven. Yeah, I think one of the first techniques is that willingness and ability. I've noticed with my top clients, they're perpetual students. And I'm as much as a student of them as they are a student of me. We know different things. So I take on clients that I can learn from, and clients come to me when they have something to learn from me. So they are open to learning. Number two, they practice. It's so important to actually put whatever you're doing into action. I mean, I remember even working with James Ray. James Ray was on a horrendous speaking schedule, and he would be teaching these very intensive workshops and then have to have hours of media coaching with me afterwards when he was dog tired.
Oh, God.
And I said, you know, the third thing I tell my clients is incorporate practicing your sound bites and practicing your speaking, whatever you're doing. And I want to get back to sound bites for a minute after and talk about what they are and how you can use them. But what I want to say is practice, whether it's asking for more money, it's just practice it on a regular basis. If you commute to work back and forth, do it in the car. Just start to speak out loud. Get used to hearing yourself talk. Get used to practicing these things out in the world, whether you're working out. I often practice my speaking engagements. I bring my cards with me as I walk, when I take my walk, and I talk them out loud, because different things happen when you're in a more unconscious mode. Mm. And actually what I found with all of my super successful clients, it's when they relax, is when all of the stories and what they want to say comes out perfectly.
Mm.
And it's getting to that place where you can always be relaxed and comfortable and on your center in your body. Now, what that means is that you have to practice the stressful situations.
Right.
So what sound bites are they're your vignettes, they're your core messages, they're your statistics, they're your stories, they're your research. They're all of the key things that are going to draw people to you and want what you have. So what you want to practice is to start to think about what are the core things that you say, the kind of stories that resonate, that are going to have people saying, I want to learn more and I want to engage with this person. And that happens through a practice of engaging with another person, meaning like you, Eva, and Gina, you would practice your sound bites together because you need like a live person and a live scenario to get it going to begin with. And then you say to that other person either what is it that you heard or what is it that you remember. You know, as we're talking along, you're saying, oh, Susan, I remember you say this, or certain things are going to click into your head that you're going to remember later. Sound bites are those kinds of things that are going to resonate that people remember, whether it's a story or a vignette or a statistic that they're going to take away. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, like I wrote down on my paper, the thing that stood out is 7-figure book advance.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, yeah.
That's a good sound bite right there. You're doing something
right.
I like it.
And what about you, Eva? Did anything stand out for you?
I'm the one that said 7. She said 6. She stole mine.
Right.
Don't be tattletailing over there.
Yeah.
When I'm talking about sound bites, it's talking about always focusing on what you want and not what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So when I listen closely to my clients, I mean, sometimes they'll slip up and say something negative, and I always backtrack and say, is that what you want to say? Is that the most important thing for you to say to connect with your audience? And is that what you want to draw to you? So if we start to become aware of this in our conversations of every day, are we only thinking, whether it's in our love relationships with our children, right? In Shamu, do you know about Shamu, which is animal training? And it's only positive reinforcement, meaning you only reward the positive.
Right.
So that's one part of Shamu. Yeah. So when someone does something well, you compliment them to it because it grows. So this is part of the law of attraction as well. You've got a soundbite for that. Energy flows where attention goes.
Exactly.
That's one of your sayings in law of attraction, right? Okay.
Yes.
So when we think about that, that's a soundbite.
Yes.
When we think about that, we start to focus only on amplifying what we want. So when we speak, it's the same exact way. Your soundbites are only amplifying. Like, I want clients who are socially responsible or incredibly fun. So that's what I'm going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about James Ray. I'm talking about Matthew B. James. I've got another client who, her company is called Billionaire Babies. It's teaching kids from 3 to 24 how to manage money, create a business plan. She's got a 3-year-old who's created a business plan and is making money and gave half of it to her little girl, Abby. This little girl, Abby, creates Abby bags that she sells on eBay and Craigslist. She decorates bags, and she earned over $200, and she gave it to the Boys and Girls Club of Boston. So she's already learning to give back to people who have less than she does, and she's understanding marketing. She realized at one point where she was trying to sell her bags, I think it was outside of her house, and nobody was buying. She goes, why wasn't that successful? She goes, I need the children to be accompanied by the parents, and the parents have to have their money available. So where would that happen? Well, it's going to happen on the schoolyard. So she goes, so I'm going to go to the schoolyard where parents pick up the kids after school, and that's where I'm going to sell my bags.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so you want to talk about those kinds of things that are going to attract those people to you, those kind of sound bites and stories and things that are going to draw the same kind of people to you. So I love the socially responsible, the people who are incredibly fun. One of my other clients gives Tuscan tours. And, you know, in Tuscany, she's an expert on living the Tuscan lifestyle, the sensual, rich, you know, living in the moment kind of lifestyle. That's the kind of thing that you want to bring into your language when you're out in the world speaking, whether it's doing publicity or you're talking to another client. right?
Right. Perfect. Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
And I thought Shamu was a killer whale.
I did too.
Oh, so you know about Shamu, more about Shamu. What I loved about Shamu is they do other thing about, okay, this woman, she was a journalist, and what she started figuring out that she could apply Shamu to problems in her marriage. Like her husband would dump his stinky bike clothes on the floor all over the house, and she would nag him, and then that would not create a good relationship. So one of the things that she started doing was, you know, rewarding him when he put his stinky clothes in a pile in the bathroom. Well, it wasn't in the hamper, okay, but it's an approximation. It's closer to the hamper than the stairs, right? But she also discovered, you know, things like one of the things that he would do is he would always hover over her when she was cooking in the kitchen. She couldn't stand it. So what she did was she put the guacamole and chips at the end of the table.
Mm.
So he would go to the chips. It's modifying behavior, but in a positive way, instead of going, get out of here, get out of here. So she's focusing again on, what does she want? She wants more space around the kitchen, you know. So she puts the chips and the guacamole at the end of the table, and that's where her husband goes, and he's not bugging her anymore.
That's
so it's modifying this kind of behavior. Isn't that funny?
Instead of you've been punked, you've been shamooed.
You've been shamooed. That's right. That's right. And we can do the same thing with sound bites or doing media or whatever. You know, we get out there and we want to reward ourselves for what we did right.
Yeah.
So we have an experience where we're on TV and we've said one thing that we wanted to say. Maybe we didn't say all five things that we wanted to say in our sound bites, but we said one thing. That's what we focus on. We say, congratulations, you did that. Next time, let's make it two.
I want to know, how can hiring you as a media coach and marketing strategist help us to use the law of attraction to get more publicity and media attention?
Well, what we do in the media training sessions, the media coaching sessions, is I listen to the way that you speak naturally and start to focus on all of those kind of sound bites that suit you that are going to attract the kind of clients and business and experiences that you want. And what we do is we weave those seamlessly into a conversation and into the stories. So it's a real art to be able to tell those kind of stories when you're under pressure in those 2 minutes or 4 minutes or even if you're in a half an hour interview. And so we work on those kind of role plays, but first we establish what it is you want and how you want to grow your business. And that drives the sound bites. And then the sound bites drive what you're creating in the world and what you're attracting out there. And you can tell after every media interview exactly how well focused you've been on focusing on exactly what you want, not only through what you say, but then we take a look at, well, what did you get back? So, like, for example, Matthew and James wanted to fill up their seminars. That was one of their goals. It's just one of them. But is that happening? They're doing media interviews. Are you getting more butts in the seat for your seminars? Yes. So we know it's working. Let's keep focusing on that. What else do you want to draw to you in the world? So whether it's you want to get that seven-figure book advance, what do you need to do? Let's back it up and say, what is it that you need to do? Do you need to start blogging 3 times a week to start to build a bigger audience? So the bigger the audience you have, the more a publishing house and an agent is going to say, this woman has a huge following. She deserves a bigger advance. That's part of it. What happened with James Ray is his audience expanded exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what gets you a six-figure book advance is your platform, how many people you're going to reach, how many books you're going to be able to sell to your constituency or to your audience. That's what a publisher wants to know. When they want to know how many books you're going to sell, how many people are listening to the show.
So how can people find you, Susan? We know you have lots of good stuff to offer. And by the way, as an additional plug, we have worked with Susan, and we fell in love with her. And that's why we always ask her whenever we're on a show as our guest, because we think she rocks. So where can people find you?
Well, thank you. I think you guys rock, too, and I just love coming on your show and working with you at prsecrets.com. And also, I'm doing a column with theexaminer.com. So
ooh.
I'm now blogging for examiner.com, but go to prsecrets.com. There are plenty of free downloadable teleseminars, free articles, and lots of tips and techniques on how to publicize yourself with integrity and spirit. I think that the law of attraction is really woven in. It may not be explicit, but it's been there since the beginning because that's whether you name it or not, if that's how you move through the world, that's part of what comes out in the materials. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yes, and I agree.
And, yeah, and so go to prsecrets.com and also join me on Twitter.
Yay,
have
Twitter.
You guys been Twittering?
Awesome.
I'm on Twitter now. It's twitter.com/soundbitesiren.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and I'm also on BizMic. You know, and I'd love people to join me on Biznic or LinkedIn or Facebook, too, because I think as we start to grow as a community,
yes.
let's connect in all these different ways.
Excellent.
I think, you know, social networking is the next thing.
Thank you so much, Susan, for being on our show. That was good stuff.
No kidding.
So we're going
well,
to go.
Thank you.
So we're going to go to a brief commercial break right now. You're listening to the Law of Attraction Show with Gina and Eva. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What do you get when you mix the wisdom of the dynamic duo of Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen with the wisdom of our co-host Eva Gregory and Gina Gabellini? You get the latest and best book ever on the Law of Attraction. Life Lessons for Mastering the Law of Attraction reveals the 7 essential ingredients for living a prosperous life. This delightful book combines heartwarming stories with compassionate guidance on how you can tap into the Law of Attraction to dramatically improve the quality of your life. Life Lessons for Mastering the Law of Attraction is available in bookstores everywhere or online at Amazon.com.
And welcome back to the Law of Attraction Show. I'm Eva, and this is a segment of our show where we take Law of Attraction questions from our listeners. So if you want to ask your Law of Attraction question of Gina and me, you can email your questions to eva@coacheva.com with Ask Gina and Eva in the subject line, and we'll do our best to get your questions answered on the air. And we do have a ton of questions. Let me just get to some quickly here. All right. Okay, this is a great one. This is from Kim. Kim is saying, how can I stop making wrong choices when I need to choose something? Goodness me. The first thing you want to do, Kim, is relax and understand that you can feel your way. You can use your emotional guidance system to let you know how this feels when you're about to make a choice. If something's not quite right about it, or you're wanting it, but you're afraid if you didn't make this choice, something else is going to happen, then I would say this is not quite the time to make the choice. And if you're not making that choice, then what you're doing is you're saying no to it. And that is a choice. Until you feel better about what you're doing or how you're feeling about the choice that you're making, it's best not to make any choice at all. Now, I'll just give you an example of a client of mine. One of my clients wanted to buy this purse that was more money than she'd ever spent on a purse in her life. And she wanted to do this for herself, and so she decided she had gotten blessings from her husband and actually given her the money. And she went to the store, and she found the purse that she wanted, and she was about to purchase it. But it felt so overwhelming to spend that kind of money on a purse. She started thinking about, I need to be paying for the college for my kids and all these other expenses that she knew she had. So rather than buying it, she asked the woman if they would just keep it behind the counter, and she would come back a little later. So she went away, and she waited. How do I feel about this? Do I really want this? What is going to make me feel best, to do this right now or not do that? And she finally talked herself into, yes, I deserve that, and we are all well taken care of. This is money that I do have, this extra. It's something I've wanted for a really, really long time, and I get to have it, and I get to enjoy it, and it's not going to take away from anything else that I've got going on or any other expenses. So once she was lined up with that for herself, she went back to the store and she bought the purse. And of course, she felt great about it. She was on a program with me, and she came on the program sharing how she'd finally done it. For her, that was a stretch because she's not used to buying luxury things for herself. She was so used to spending on her family and for her kids. But she did get an alignment, and then she felt good about it. So I would say that for you to feel your way rather than doing it from a place of lack or maybe not feeling sure, or there's some gremlins going on in your head about it. Maybe it's some deserved issues or worthy issues, or you're doing something that maybe you shouldn't be doing, to really get in alignment with it. Or the other thing is to make a decision and line up with the decision. Decide you're going to do it, and I'm going to focus on what I do want and how I do want this to turn out, and I'm going to enjoy it, or I'm going to decide not to do it, and I'm going to be good with that decision and know that that's the best decision for myself. What would you add, Gina?
Well, I love what you just said about, you know, make the decision and then line up with it. And I've had to do that several times since I've had my son, because my mate and I have very, very different views on how to handle things, from shots to circumcision. And when I was talking to Eva about it, my main focus was, okay, I'm going to get what I want rather than my mate. And I thought, well, you know, there's give and take here. What if I gave in to what he wanted, but not giving in from the point of it's going to be terrible for me, but I'll make the decision and then line up my beliefs behind it. And I had to do that, and it worked beautifully, by the way. And these were big decisions. It's not about buying a purse or not. It was, should I get my son circumcised or not? And this is a very permanent thing. Can't undo that decision. How do I want to handle it? And so the decision was, I will let my mate choose what he wants to do, and then I will get lined up behind that so that I don't feel like I'm actually giving up something in this decision. And the other thing that came to me was, there are no wrong decisions.
Right.
Because you're just constantly making choices, and if you realize, oh, you know, I did that, and I realized that my intuition was really directing me somewhere else, I didn't honor it, then you can go back and make another decision. You're never stuck with a decision, really. You can always change your mind or change your perception, one of the two. And so there really, in that case, there's no wrong decisions. And the other thing is, if you're anticipating that you make wrong decisions, you're going to make wrong decisions.
Yes.
And I'll give you an example of that. It's a habit. You know, it really is a habit. And I have one that I'm letting go. And that is I always make wrong decisions when I'm at the checkout counter at the grocery store. That's my belief. And so what happens? I always choose the longest line. And I get all, you know, frustrated when I notice it. But there's that anticipation that I always choose the wrong line. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that say, I make bad decisions. And what they're doing it on is based on past, not based on right now. You can intend to be a great decision maker, whether it's business opportunities or deciding on who to date or picking stocks. It's about creating a new story. Today's a new day, so make up a different story. You always make great decisions.
Yes, good points. We have Elizabeth. I love this. How do I moderate my passion level so I don't burn out? Elizabeth, if you're following your passion, that your passion is going to ignite you. It's not going to burn you out, I promise you. What burns you out is when you're not following your passion. What burns you out is when you're in resistance. What burns you out is when you're doing something you feel you have to, you ought to, you should, you need to. It's expected of you. You're committed. It's your responsibility. All of those kinds of feelings are what burn you out. Never, never will you ever be burned out by following your passion. It's what feeds you. It's coming from you, from your soul level. It is what creates life in you. So never worry about that. If you're tempering back passion, please don't. Turn it up. Turn it up full force and go with it. And if you start to feel you're worn out, it's not from the passion. And by the way, you can get excited about things. Not that I get excited about anything, but you can get really excited about something and you can get tired, but it's kind of that good tired, or you've run the gamut of it. And then you can just sort of stop and relax and go back to something else, or you want to be at peace or not think about things at all. And even that in the rest, and you'll know it because of how it feels. You'll be drawn to it. But in that rest, then you start to get back into it. It's like the pendulum swings both ways, and then you get back into that refreshment, regenerated, and you're ready to run again. And as long as it's passion you're running with, I just say run with the wind.
And if you notice that there is too much stuff coming in, and maybe, you know, your passion's bringing in too much business, now that's a great problem to have.
Exactly.
And then you'll just come up with a solution to make it easier. I mean, that's how businesses expand. You know, you see something, it's not working because it's, you know, now we're having too much of something, right? Too many clients coming in, we're not able to, you know, coach them all. Great, now we have group coaching. New processes and new things are put in place, new systems out of that kind of contrast. So overwhelm of a good thing is a good thing.
Yeah, right, absolutely. And just know you're always at choice. It's just what we were talking about before with Kim, is to know that you are always at choice. And you can choose to slow down. You can choose to put your focus somewhere else. You can choose to rest for the moment. But you won't burn out. But one of the things you also want to understand is you're not going to miss any opportunities. If you decide, I need to rest, I'm going to take my focus off this for a while. Or maybe you were passionate about something and now you're feeling, this happens to Gina and me all the time, where we're gung-ho about one of our programs and we are on fire and we're filling those programs, and there comes a point in time when we're not as passionate about them anymore, and that's when we make the decision to let those classes run down, and then we're off creating new and then we're back in that passion again. All is well. You're not burning yourself out, we promise you. All right. I'm interested in many business ideas. How do I focus on what will make the most revenues? This is Suzanne. Suzanne, I want to tell you, if you are trying to make your decision based on what's going to make the most revenue, you're missing the boat. If you are looking at all of these business ideas and which ones feel most inspiring and which ones are back in Elizabeth's passion, which are as passionate to you and feels best to you, go with those. And I promise you, the ones that you're inspired about, the ones that you're passionate about, are the ones that will make you the most revenue. So if you're in your logical head and you're looking at, well, this is real estate and therefore real estate tends to make, well, I don't know about these days, but anyway, in general, real estate, and based on law of attraction, there are people making still a lot of money in real estate. But in real estate makes a lot of money, and your passion is doing something completely different, but you feel like that's going to be your money maker, it won't.
even if everyone around you is making money at it. And I've seen this firsthand. So if you're not following your passion, the money won't follow. Follow your passion. Follow your bliss. Follow that. And that is where the money will come, because it will come from your vibration. It's attracted to you. But don't, and I say this to anybody, don't ever do something simply because you think it's going to bring in more revenues than something else. Look at it from a place of law of attraction. This is my passion. Now look at the focus of, now what if my passion is what creates the most revenue? And it will. How can my passion create the most revenue? Because it feels good in your open vortex. So get focused on something you have pure positive energy around, and then let the law of attraction do its work.
That was perfect. I don't have anything to add to that one.
Yeah, so like what I said.
Yeah, well, she said. Ditto.
All right. This is sort of similar to what we were just talking about. This is Sophia. How do you grow a business in a depressed economy? Well, we just kind of talked about that. The fact is, the economy has nothing to do with it. There are many, many people who are thriving in the depressed economy. There were many people who thrived back in the Depression. There were many people who didn't, because there are many people who were focused on the Depression and what wasn't working, and slow economy and bad economy, and afraid that it was going to affect them. And of course it did. That's law of attraction at its best. So law of attraction at its better than best is when you look at that and say, that doesn't have to be my reality. What I'm going to focus on how I want to feel and how I'm going to do well. And put your focus there, and then you begin to attract that. It's hard sometimes. It's hard if you're surrounded by a lot of a reality that says things are depressed and that your friends are having a hard time, or you're seeing businesses going out of business or people in foreclosure. But take your mind off the reality and put it back on how you want to be. You were meant to be a visionary. You were never meant to come in and be the observer of the reality. You were meant to experience the contrast, create the rockets of desire that shoots off the new visions, and then put your focus on that vision and what you want, and make that your dominant thought, and make that your dominant vibration, make that your dominant emotional feeling of feeling good about what you want. And from that place, the ideas, solutions, people, circumstances, they all begin to unfold.
I want to go back to something that Susan was talking about earlier in the interview about there's opportunities in all the contrast. What's the opportunity here?
Yeah.
And that's a great question to ask. When things become depressed, even if the economy wasn't depressed, people still bomb out and are not successful in their business. So it's an opportunity to say, okay, so what's not working here and how can I shift? Or what is the opportunity in this? Because there always is. And I'll give you a for instance. My mate owns a stair company, and his bread and butter of his company was these multi-million dollar track houses where he would build 2 and 3 staircases, sometimes 4 in one house. Well, that particular track that he'd been working on for 4 or 5 years hadn't been selling houses, and they literally just started laying off people, and where he was doing 2 houses a week, it became 2 houses in a month, and then pretty soon it was 1 a month. And what ended up happening is he said, okay, I need to refocus my energy. I've just sort of taken it for granted that I always had these tracks. He didn't have a lot of systems in place in terms of marketing. So what ended up happening is a website was born out of that. He hired my mom as an outside salesperson because she loves doing outside sales and she's incredibly good at it. And they started having a different focus. So now they're focusing on apartment buildings and the custom houses, and this whole other market now has opened up to them that they had never even noticed before. So there's opportunity on that. And so when the economy does start booming again and there are houses selling everywhere, they're going to explode. They're so set up now to be over the top successful, where before nobody knew who they were, just these few contractors who were building these tracks. So there's opportunity, and you just have to ask yourself, what is the opportunity in here? How can I expand this, even in this market? What's possible for me? Because there is always the ability to make money no matter what. It's, are you looking for that, or are you looking at evidence about how the economy's down? Because wherever you're looking, you will find evidence to support that very thought.
Ann, what's the best technique you know to deeply release limiting beliefs about success and receiving money? Wow, there's so many. One that Gina and I absolutely love is called the Sedona Method, or the release technique that helps to release limiting beliefs. This is a process by Hale Dwoskin, and if you are familiar with the DVD movie The Secret, Hale was one of the teachers in that. And the Sedona Method basically is you're thinking about this limiting belief that you have and then asking yourself, could you let it go? And you just simply ask yourself, and then ask yourself, would you let it go? and then ask yourself when. Now, that sounds extremely simple. It is simple, and we highly recommend, actually, his course. And it's Sedona.com. We love it. We teach it in many, many of our programs and highly recommend it. But it is a simple way of letting go. And even if your answer is no, like could you let it go or would you let it go, that limiting belief, even in the answer, you actually begin to let that go. So that's one of the processes that we recommend. What are some of the others, Gina?
Yeah, I'll give you one in a moment, but I just want to point people back to the archives of this show
on
Exceptional Wisdom. Yeah, exactly. And he took people through the process so you can go listen to him live. It's good stuff. I never get tired of listening to it. The other thing is when opportunities come up, let's say in business, before someone has actually signed a contract with you or you haven't even taken any money yet, but it's an opportunity or a referral or you're speaking into the media, play the what if up game with the opportunities.
Yes. That's good.
So I'll give you an example. I was just on a coaching call before this interview, and we were playing this game, and we had a lot of fun doing it because this client was saying how she gets a lot of opportunities come her way, and then she plays the what-if-down game with the opportunities. And the what-if-down game is, okay, somebody just referred me a client. How come they're not calling? Oh, gosh, nobody ever calls me back. See, I'm not going to make any money. And pretty soon you're in this spiral downward with your thoughts about how nothing works. It starts out as a little tiny piece, and then it just blows up, and before you know it, you know, I'm never going to make a profit, and I might as well just fold this whole thing up, and I'm going to be homeless. You know, that's where we go with things. So to turn that around would be the what-if-up game. So what if this person who I was referred to hasn't called yet because they're actually on a magnificent vacation, and when they come back, because they're a really obviously successful person, they make good money, they're going to call me back, and we're going to do such amazing business, and they're going to refer me out to 10 other people. And within those 10 other people who I am being referred to, one of them has a connection on Oprah, and I'm going to get on Oprah. And out of that, I start gaining a list in my Rolodex that's all the who's who of all the mentors I want to play with, and pretty soon I can call them up and ask them for anything I want. I am just making the most amazing connections. Well, that's a whole different spin right there, right? That's the what-if-up game. You're just taking it bigger, better, expanding on each thought. And the great thing about the what-if-up game, it doesn't have to be based on the reality or what you've done to
Especially
up to this
not.
Point in your life. The bigger, the better.
Yeah.
Because what happens when you play the what-if-up game is you get out of what is so or what has been. And if you're just playing around like this, we like to make it a game. That's why we call it the what-if-up game. If you're making it a game, you're not so attached to it and you can be light. You will actually find some great ideas in playing this game that you can make a reality. You know, we're just sitting here playing, right? And we're making up a game. But all of a sudden, something you say that you're just playing around with and throwing it out there, all of a sudden you say, I really could do that, or, ooh, that is a good idea. I'm going to put that in place. So you can play the what-if-up game with anything, but to play it around opportunities will mean that now you are connected to that opportunity, and amazing things will show up. Even if that particular opportunity falls through, it means you're just attracting something better.
Yes. It's all about perspective, you know. Change your perspective and change your life. Really. Really.
That's right. And if you really want to get a bang out of changing your perspective, I think we should point them in the direction of our Prosperity Game Home Study Course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Prosperity Game Home Study Course, by the way, is based on the game, the Prosperity Game, that literally turned me around in my own life, in the story that I share in our book, Life Lessons for Mastering the Law of Attraction. You can get the book at any bookstore. But that was the transformational turning point of me really getting how profoundly the law of attraction is working in our lives always. I never have to question it ever again. And Gina and I actually created a prosperity game program based on this particular process. It was a 3 or 4 month program, and we've now created the Prosperity Game Home Study System for those that weren't around to participate in the live program that actually takes you through all kinds of processes to release limiting beliefs, processes to practice using the law of attraction in your life on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, ways to use it for the big things, ways to use it in your relationships. It comes with 12 CDs if you don't buy the downloadable version. It comes with a Prosperity Game Manual. It comes with its own checkbooks and checks that you can actually use as part of the structure of the program. The website is theprosperitygame.com, and there are many other programs and services there, but you will find the Prosperity Game Home Study System right there on the home page to be able to click through and get to that. And by the way,
awesome gift. Want to make a change in someone's life? Give someone practical steps to using the law of attraction in their lives. Makes an awesome gift. And that's theprosperitygame.com.
Excellent.
So I believe that is it for today. You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Show. I'm Eva.
And I'm Gina. Be sure to join us next week for another power-packed hour.
You've been listening to The Law of Attraction Show with your co-hosts, Eva Gregory and Gina Gabellini. Join us every Thursday to learn more about the power of the Law of Attraction and how it can help you to experience higher levels of peace and prosperity. And be sure to read Eva and Gina's new book, Life Lessons for Mastering the Law of Attraction, available online at Amazon and in your local bookstore.